podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Today, before we jump in, we'd love to, if you'd leave a review on iTunes and or wherever you listen to podcasts, those five stars do really help. We'd also like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shoe machine on the market. I'll get it out. Not only are they innovative, unbelievable how shooting machines have changed. You know, I remember when they used to have those long metal racks coming from the court. But how they've innovated, how they've put the trainers right in front of you, it's unbelievable. So go over and check it out. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. There's nothing else on the market like it. Nowhere else are you going to get the bat phone to the person running it. No, you know, yes, they might do quarterly or monthly or weekly calls, but they're not on your beck and call. If you have a question, if you have an email, trust me, I will get back to you. I will respond. I will get on a call with you that day. So come over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Let's head off to the podcast.
Touch base with coaches. And I had weekly meetings with every kid, sixth grade through 12th grade in my program,
right,
on Zoom. And my daughter would sit in my lap for some of those. And cause she's six and she's still attached to daddy.
Right.
And, in quarantine, I focused on the things that were most important to me, and they were family and basketball.
Right.
And that was it. And so I'm not the same person I was before quarantine. I'm not the same, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. and I'm going to grind. And, I'm now more focused on family and basketball than I ever have been.
Right. No, I think it's, yeah, I think this is going to raise an interesting generation from all of, I mean, I can definitely see, I told my department chair the other day when we're coming back in, and we were just talking, and he said, what you described is, I'm a little bit of a, my wife is convinced I'm part vampire, because I'm always going, but I've been teaching for 32, 33 years. And if pre-pandemic, I bet I would have coached and taught for another 10 to 15 years. Mm-hmm. Post-pandemic, it's probably in one hand, because it's like it's slowed everything down for me.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, you know, it's like.
So we work with my wife and I work with a financial advisor, and he was telling us he's in his early to mid 60s.
Okay.
And he looked us dead in the face. He goes, I can do this for another 10 years. We were like, why? He said, because now with all this digital stuff, I don't waste time in the car. I can immediately go from one meeting to the next, and I can see two or three times as many people in a day as I was when I was driving to having to meet people at So it's just, I like what this has done, because it's made people look inward and assess their mental health and what matters right to them.
Well, and first of all, I this is the math for time is the most valuable resource you have, because it's 100%. Finite. I mean, we can spiritually talk about that. I'm a spiritual person, but there's a start and a stop. It's finite. So what this has done is it's saved, hopefully you've saved time if you've been effective in this, but I was telling you before we came on, I haven't taught in person all year. Mm-hmm. I taught almost 2 months outside of Wisconsin. Some of it was out at my brother's lake house, and part of it was in New Hampshire. Part of it was, I taught almost for a whole month in Florida, because I could teach my students virtually anywhere. I could have been in New Zealand, as long as I had internet and a computer. So I think that it's going to change the world, I think. And I think it's going to change coaching. I just haven't 100% figured out how yet. But also I believe that people have to be in schools. I also believe teaching virtually is a horrible thing.
Yeah, it's not good for all, and it's not good for long periods of time.
No. And I think college kids can handle it better. I think 15 to 18 year olds need
you and I 100% agree on that.
Yeah, they need us. I think a 22-year-old or a MBA student can probably do more virtual learning, and I think there'll be a huge pivot with that. But I don't think there's an energy force in a school that needs to be there, to be honest 100%. With you. Let's see. All right. So I'm going to go through my deep dives, my rapid fires, and some of these are rapid. Some of them aren't. I'll go down to these. Okay. What's your favorite brand of basketball?
Oh man. I like the Wilson Jet Evolution.
The Evolution seems to be moving up.
I like the Evolution. I don't like a ball that has really, if there's no squish in the panels, I just don't feel it as, I got to have a little squish in the panels because I can feel it. I've got a good feel for it. It feels good when I dribble it. Feels good when I get it in my shooting pocket. And I really like, it's a ball starting to be used more now. Wilson's, my league is all Wilson. So, but we played with the Spaldings. The public schools went Baden for a little bit. And those are a crime against humanity.
Oh, they're horrible.
Oh, they're so bad. So
I use the Spalding TF1000. And the only reason I do is because the most important game of the year, that's what our state association uses.
And I like those, but they're a little firm for me. They're kind of a rock sometimes.
They are. They're a little firm. If you're overinflated, there's a problem. But it's like, I don't understand coaches that use a Baden all season. And then when tournament comes, it's like, maybe you're here, but I was. And it's like, don't mess with my ball. Like, it's
so
like,
my league is Wilson. We've got to use a Wilson ball and the Evolutions. And then they've got this new one called an Evo Next that is just, it just feels like money in your hands. It feels so good. But when at public school has gone back to Spalding, which feels like a return to normalcy. But when I would take my private school kids with Wilson basketballs to these public school tournaments and put a Baden in their hands, oh my gosh, I felt for them. I was like, I've put this death sentence in your hand.
It's like, oh, we're going, hey, make sure you bring your jug of water because we're going down to the playground and playing outside on the cement. That's the kind of ball you're grabbing.
Yes.
I know. I know. The only thing I don't like about Spaldings too is they don't wear well.
No, like, they're almost 1 year and done.
They are, and it's almost like they've done that on purpose. So it's like,
oh, planned obsolescence. Yes,
I know.
I bet they have.
I know. That's why the Evolutions definitely last longer. But it's like I can't use them because it's like,
yeah, you know, your state won't let you.
They won't let us. One word to describe your ideal player.
One word, geez. Coachable.
Okay. If you could go to one sporting event in the entire world, what would it be?
All 10 days of the NBA Summer League.
Okay. No one said that in almost 1,000 podcasts.
I really want to do that because it's like, you watch the NCAA tournament and I watch it a little differently. I don't do brackets. I don't like doing a bracket. I just want to enjoy the game. I don't want to have any vet. I want to love the game. And you watch, you know, like these brothers from Eastern Washington that almost beat Kansas. Did you watch that game?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Those two dudes are going to have an 8 to 10 year career playing overseas because of that game if they won.
Right.
I love that. I love kids. Basically creating an opportunity for themselves on a stage that maybe that team hadn't been on. That's why I love the tournament. So the NBA Summer League is that on repeat, but it's also NBA teams kicking the tires on new concepts for their new players. So everybody's there to make a team and everybody's there to learn. Right. And so I when I watch those games on TV, I get a different level of enjoyment. So I'd be the one person going to Vegas, not pulling any one-armed bandits or playing any cards. You'd find me in the gym.
Well, the second best game ever invented is in Las Vegas.
And what's that?
That's craps. I'm telling you. We know what the best game ever invented was, but whenever you walk into a casino, where's all the energy?
It's at a craps table.
At the craps table,
I'm
man.
Not mad at that.
Love, my not brother mad. Has a craps table in his basement. It is a great game. It is
so,
really.
I can't. I need to tell you this because I can't tell my Christian school. But I played poker with my neighbors and won $40. And having, being able to basically have free money to get Chick-fil-A or Wendy's all week. I've been on a high all week because that's not real money. It's play money.
It is play money. It is play money. You can play craps for a while too. And again, it's the stats teacher in me. Like I've actually counted cards and been asked to leave casinos for counting cards. But it's like, you can play it like 50. It's entertainment. That's the way, I mean, I'm a math person. I know that the house, it's called the law of large numbers. The casino is a casino because in every game they have an advantage. The only way a casino loses is a world pandemic happens and no one gambles.
Yes.
Otherwise, they always win. They don't in poker though, in the casino, because it's interesting how poker works in a casino. You basically, they take a cut of the pot. So they don't care who wins at the poker table in a casino. They take like 10% to a max.
Interesting.
They don't care. You're basically paying for the dealer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually a really good game to play in a casino. Anyway, there's my gambling recommendation.
I'm here for the rabbits, coach. Don't worry about me. I'm here for the rabbits.
What's your favorite pregame meal?
Favorite pregame meal for me, or did I try to make the team eat that's somewhat nutritious?
Either.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's funny because, like, there'll be places that I take the kids and we'll eat, and then they'll go play, like, absolute death. And it's like, guys, we can never go eat at that place again, whether it's a nutritional thing or it's a superstitious thing. You know, pandemic time, it's Chick-fil-A. I'm sorry. It's the easiest thing to get, especially, like, so many, you know, even when we were playing basketball and things started to open up a little bit here, you still couldn't go get dine-in in a lot of places.
Right.
So I had to make the school bus one of the vehicles on my curbside pickup app for Chick-fil-A.
Right.
So there's my Toyota RAV4, gray Toyota SUV. And then it was like yellow Chrysler van was the bus. And so I pull the bus up. I do a curbside order. I had the boys order programmed in as like a one click. And all right, I know that little Johnny likes a four piece. His four piece is programmed in. I know this kid needs a grilled chicken club. And I had that order preset. So two clicks and Chick-fil-A was bringing five bags of food in my bus.
If you want to see how people organize stuff, Chick-fil-A knows how to run stuff. At least when we were driving back during the pandemics, Chick-fil-A was like, he'd always go through the drive-thru. The pickup was, I mean, it's like, so I always know. Our tip-offs tend to be like 7:15 p.m., 7:30-ish. We our high school is on the far – so Madison's the county we live in Madison is about 500,000 people, state capital of Wisconsin. So it's pretty big. So literally across the street from my high school, it's the largest mall, probably the largest mall in Dane County, and it has a Chick-fil-A. So I know that if I don't do my post game and I don't do the interviews and all that stuff and I don't get everything called in, they close at 10. I know I gotta pull out of the parking lot by 9:50 if I want to get my Chick-fil-A.
Now, okay, post game meal, that's a horse of a different color.
Yeah.
Because
that question, what's your post game? I should add that. I'm gonna add that to my.
Oh, you got to do post game meal because coaches eat their feelings, coach.
Oh, they do.
Coaches eat their feelings. I'm on a Oprah Winfrey type of weight loss and gain when I'm in and out of season. So post game, there's a Pizza Hut that's open till midnight that has a drive through.
That's good.
The problem. And then there's a I'm a sucker for a, I don't know if you guys have them up there, Taco Cabana.
No, we don't have those. Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. Please go over and check our website, ttubes.com, for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial. It's got office hours. It's got one-on-one calls. It's got handouts. It's got practice plans. It's got how to do just – it's got a roadmap for you. That's what you need, a roadmap. So go over and check that out. Again, it helps us keep the lights on. It helps us keep this train a chugging. Subscribe and like. We would love that. If you love these podcasts, especially on Apple and Spotify, if you leave us a 5-star review, we would really appreciate that. All right, let's head back to the podcast.
Okay, it's a chain that started in San Antonio, and it's gotten as far north as like Oklahoma, but they're open 24 hours. And
That could be dangerous. There's stuff downtown because obviously we have the University of Wisconsin, Madison, right. 40,000.
You got College Town. You got.
If I literally want to eat, I can go downtown at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Now, I want to go downtown at 2 a.m.? No.
No. And college towns are full of 24-hour greasy carbs to avoid the hangover.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you some advice. I'm into. I've been into this for about 3 or 4 years. I fast. Fasting is actually really good for your body. I've done a lot of research on it. So, I put in a little weight early in the pandemic, but then I got back because I was around the refrigerator too much. I needed to go back to work to get away from the refrigerator, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But fasting is really good for your body. If you know, I mean, think about how long humans have been around. You know, 300 years ago, we were trying to figure out where our next meal was coming.
So, yes.
And especially in the winter months in Wisconsin, it's like, so it's actually really good for your body. You'll know if you do it, if you ever try to do it, usually I go about 18 hours between meals sometimes. Hour 12 is going to be tough, but then once you get over it, you get a second boost of energy. It's crazy. See,
I try to do the same thing. But for me, sleep is so important, and it's the hardest thing to get sometimes in this, because if I don't get sleep, I wake up craving the carby, greasy thing that's going to make me feel better.
And for the young coaches, you don't have this issue that are listening to it, but there's two ways to really lose weight. I'm going to tell you, get rid of the sugary drinks. They should be gone. Like Gator. I mean, when you're older, you know, soda, drink water, drink green tea, drink black coffee. They have no calories. It's basically very good for you. And then the carbs are the killer. Yeah. Because what I tell my students is that what happens is, what does a carb turn into? It turns into sugar. So I can see it in my classes. They go out and they get like noodles, or they get something to eat at lunch, all carbs. And then 2 hours later, all those carbs turn to sugar. They get to sugar high and then they crash. And it's like, I tell my players, it's like, no, you got to get protein. You got to get things that are going to keep that energy level up. Nutrition is a huge thing, and it's a deep dive I have to do at some point on the podcast, but nutrition is really important. They don't think of that as a 17 or 18 year old.
No, because they're invincible.
They are. And they could probably eat anything, but when we're in the tournament trail, we feed them, like we replenish in the locker room. Like I have meals, like when we play a Friday, Saturday, you have an hour and you have like, I've talked to nutritionists and think you have like an hour after that, after they come off the court, you have like an hour to get everything back into them.
Yeah. The anabolic window. Yeah.
That window. So you can't send them home. I feed them. I literally give them everything they need and sit there and watch them eat it, because I got to replenish it for the next night. Cause it's like, otherwise they're not going to have a full tank of gas, no matter what they eat when mom gets home and feeds them. What's one thing you do to relax?
One thing I do to relax, man, I hate to say it because this is going on the internet. I'm a huge Star Wars nerd.
Well, I love Star Wars. You got to go to Galaxy's Edge, man. Swear to God. Look, there's my magic bands. Where it doesn't really fit my personality, but I am a Disney fanatic.
Disney. Like I just finished the Star Wars Rebels cartoon for the second time, full run through.
Okay, Galaxy's Edge will be too much for you if you haven't been. It will be too much.
I've got things I nerd out on. I love Marvel.
God, you're close enough. You could almost drive to Disney World, couldn't you?
Florida from Houston to Orlando, it's about a 10 or 11 hour drive. Oh, maybe nine. Bad. Maybe nine. Stop it. You're putting bad ideas in my head. I have little things I nerd out on, they cause a problem because like I'll start binging something and fall asleep on the couch and wake up at 2 a.m. in a stupor and go, oh God, I've got to go, you know,
yeah, I know,
practice
I know.
At 7 a.m. So, you know, those little things are good for me. I try to do cardio and weight train as much as I can. I don't enjoy it, but at the end I feel good about myself. And
right. Yeah, it's like, I was taking my dog for two walks a day during the pandemic just to make myself like
And then, you know, time with family relaxes me. And that's one thing that the pandemic really brought into focus for me, was just how good being with my wife and little girl is for my mental health and my blood pressure, and how much it brings it down.
I'll give you a stat for the coaches that are listening to this that I just read. Because my son took a gap year, he graduated, he's going to Middlebury. I'm wearing my Middlebury thing.
He took a
gap year. So he graduated last year and decided not to go. He has a shoe business. He buys and sells shoes.
Yeah.
Shoe broker. Anyway. So he decided to work on that for a year, and then he's going to go to school in the fall. So I read this article about halfway through the pandemic that when your son or daughter leave the house after high school, you have 7% of the time you're going to have together the rest of your life is 93% of that time that they'll spend with their parents. 93% is in that from the day they're born until they're 18. And then the rest of their life is 7%. Because think about it. He's going to come home. He's going to visit. He might come home he might even come home for summers, maybe for 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. Then he's going to be off. He should be. He's leaving the nest. 93% is in those years. So I think about me. My parents are in their 80s. So that's from the point I graduated in high school in 85 until now has been 7% of the time I've spent with my parents. Isn't that crazy? Yeah,
that is crazy.
I've never enjoy heard that.
By the way. Yeah.
And you definitely have a good window right now. Well, how old is your daughter? Six?
Six.
Oh, that's a great, six to 11 is the magic window. I'm telling you.
It's when they still love you.
And they'll pay attention. It's like six. Yes. There are no diapers.
Mm-hmm.
6 to 11. Perfect window. It is. Enjoy that window. Do you have any superstitions?
Oh gosh. I run through superstitions. I don't have one that stands the test of time. When I was in high school, I have family in North Louisiana, and I grew up going to Louisiana Tech basketball camp. Both my grandparents graduated from there. And, I would always get a pair of shorts every summer at Louisiana Tech basketball camp. And I had to wear those under my high school uniform. But I go through windows of when I was at Memorial High, if I played a zombie video game during the sophomore team game prior to my freshman A game, the varsity team would win that night. And so so every game night I had to get on my phone and play a zombie video game, because that was my duty to the varsity. And then, you know, I'll go like a certain hoodie will become lucky in tournament time. A certain polo will become lucky. So I don't have one. One has stood the test time. I have to have empty pockets when I'm on the bench coaching. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a balance or a chi thing, but at the beginning of the game, like right before the ball goes up, I'm just emptying my pockets, either handing my assistants things, saying, I need you to take this, I can't have this on me, or I'm filling my backpack up with keys and phone. I can't have anything in my pockets when I coach a game.
So here's what I tell people. So I believe rituals are important more than superstitions.
100%.
And that's what I tell the players. You're not going to win or lose because you put your left shoe on first, but I get them dressed up, we're in ties, we do shoot arounds in the morning, because I want them to start thinking about the game. That's part of it. Mm-hmm. Because they're teenagers. My worst one was when one of my undefeated seasons, I had to have like a number 5 from McDonald's, and it was like 27 of them later.
Yeah, that's tough, because once you start that,
you can't stop. You don't want to be the guy that stops it. I don't tend to have a lot of them anymore. Like I'm always the last one on the bus. Like there's some stuff that like coaches, like mm-hmm. I have to be the last person on the bus. So I'll literally get off the bus and get back onto the bus. There's things like that. and the things like, but there's some, and the boys will mention it to me sometimes if I don't like, you know, do some of them, like, oh, you got to do this or you got to do that. Describe your perfect player in 5 words.
Perfect player in 5 words. He's coachable. He's resilient. He's the leader. He's skilled and he's smart.
Okay. Best basketball player you have seen in person?
best basketball player I've seen in person. Derrick Rose. Okay. It was so the Final Four was in Houston when Derrick Rose was at Memphis. And this is, I'm 37 and you've got a couple of years on me. But that dates me a little bit that I saw Derrick Rose play in college. And it was the regional tournament. It wasn't the Final Four, it was the regional tournament. And he got a steal at his defensive free throw line, but they were running the other team was running a set where there wasn't anybody up high. So it was just daylight. And to watch him take that ball from about 75 feet from his from the opposite free throw line to a two-hand dunk was the fastest and most athletic thing I've ever seen. It was incredible. And that moment sticks out to me just like how special that was, you know?
Right. No, we all have those specific one moments. Who's the best basketball player of all time?
It's Jordan. And it's Jordan and everybody else.
What's your most commonly used learning tool or basketball resource?
Most commonly used learning tool or basketball resource. I'll tell you the resource that I use. It's not a learning tool, but I use it. I sent my practice plans as an attachment, as a prep for this. It's an app on my phone.
Okay.
It's a practice plan app on my phone. I can plan practice from anywhere. And it's really easy to load in drills and set time for practice. And then it gives you the option to view what you've done as a PDF. And I air print it from anywhere on campus and they're ready to go.
I like that. Okay. If you could only teach one skill, what would it be?
Ball handling.
Really? Why?
Because ball handling is one of the few, ball handling and defense are really the only skills that you can see immediate growth in that's proportional to the time you put in.
Okay.
Shooting is an inexact science and its growth is messy. Teaching a kid to make good decisions and be a good passer, that growth is messy. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to turn the ball over on that path to learning it. But if you got enough basketballs and you can put a basketball in everybody's hand for about 8 minutes of practice, you're going to see immediate growth in your supplemental players as ball handlers. I've had years where I got to the point where everybody on my team that wasn't a post could use a ball screen just because we worked enough ball handling that they could do it. They couldn't score out of it, but they could take a ball screen and make the next read and keep the offense moving because we devoted 8 to 10 minutes to everybody having a ball in their hand.
I love that. That's a golden nugget for me. I'm going to deep dive into that. As soon as we're done here, I'm going to go for a long walk. I'm going to deep dive into that in my head.
So you talk about rituals. I hired an incredible assistant coach last year. That's a skill guy. So I'm not the skill guy anymore, but before he came on campus, I was the skill guy. And my ritual was while I had the kids doing their warm-up drills, I'm dropping cones for how we're going to do ball handling for the next 8, 10, 15 minutes. And I believe that I can put a basketball in your hand for, you know, anywhere between 5 and 15 minutes a day. You're going to grow in that. And we're gonna be able to see that in game.
Okay, you basically just gave me my discussion for my coaching meeting on Tuesday. Cause we're going to dive into that. I love that. Cause I think it's the math. Hey everybody, hope you enjoyed that. If you want to support us, you want to help us keep the lights on here at teachhoops.com, go over, join 14-day free trial, and then stop the car, subscribe, like, Apple 5-star review. That would be good. All right, maybe. Have a good day. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.